Blog Talk Radio.
Pastor Donnie McCorkin. Somebody give Jesus praise, dude. Come on, give Jesus praise, dude. We're going to sing and glorify God together, one body, one voice. All the Christians in this place have served Jesus exclusively. We give him that praise that is glorious. I want you to join and sing with us if you know these songs. I want you to participate in the worship of tonight. This is to the glory of the King. And how many of you know he's coming soon? Come on, make some noise if you know he's coming soon.
Church and Harvest Light Studios. Give me a few minutes. We're an international call. It's a chance to get in. We're going to get started on this word tonight. We're going to be over in the book of Job. We're going to be following with a few other different scriptures. We're going to really get into this tonight. We're going to be really dealing with the sound of the trumpet, the blowing of the horn in the last day. And we're going to talk a little bit about some things that actually come across the news that verifies the fact that we're living in the last days, and it always has been that we've been living the last days. It's just that we are waiting on time that Christ is really going to come and gather the elect from the four winds. So, you guys hold on just a minute. We'll be right back with you here in just a minute.
If you know that there's no God like our God, I want to hear you lift up a praise in this room. There's no God like our God. Somebody join and help us say this.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.
Raise your voice.
There's no God like Jehovah.
Make the bar.
There's no God like Jehovah.
Nobody like.
There's no God like Jehovah.
Nobody like.
There's no God like Jehovah.
Greater than the fool.
There's no God like Jehovah.
Greater than the fool.
There's no God like Jehovah.
Greater than the fool.
There's no God like Jehovah.
Nobody like.
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 There's no God like Jehovah.
Out of
Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out of Zion, out
Father God, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you. We get forth and get moving on this afternoon. Father God, we ask you to give us the wisdom, direction, knowledge, and understanding. That even as you begin to speak through our mouths of clay, Father God, that we speak to your people. And we get them to realize and understand through the purpose and your power, your glory, your mercy. That is, you are in control, Father God, on the night. We thank you guys for just joining us and being a part of our show each and every Thursday. Most of the nights that we have different shows on different areas of network, we thank you, Father God, for joining the people and to be with us during the course of the time of the word of illumination that comes forth, Father God, as we continue to hold the minds not captive, but release them and set them free for what you have in store for them. That even in the last days, Father God, we begin to give them that which you have given us that comes from the kingdom of God, that we speak according to the way you want us to speak, not to men's wisdom, but to the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we declare the word on this afternoon. And even as we move forth, we decree according to the purpose of the power and the illumination power of the Holy Spirit. Father God, guide us and keep us. Give us instructions that we may speak the way you want us to speak. And we speak the words correctly. We try to err not with error. But as we depend on you as being the Holy Spirit, you will guide us through everything we have to say on this afternoon. These things I speak not of myself, but of the power of the Most High God in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I pray, Lord, amen. I want to go ahead and introduce one of my hosts with me tonight. Talk with him on last week. This week, yeah, you guys finished up the show that we did on Tuesday, the Tuesday Testimony, which is a very good show. We agreed that we got to talk a little bit about the horn blowing and some of the sounds that we've been hearing in the earth, not only just through the Shenouah, the blowing of the horns, but some of the events that have been taking place, the chatter that's in the air. So I want to get a chance to introduce the man of God, to Kerry Williams, out of Saginaw, Michigan, with Kerry Williams Ministries, and want to go ahead and let him say hello to you guys, and we're going to get ready to get started here. Elder Kerry?
God bless you, sir. God bless you. As Pastor was saying, we had in that conversation the other night about, on Tuesday night, about these being the last days and the significance of the blowing of the what's known as the shofar, or the blowing of the trumpet in Zion. And just to give you a little bit of background on that, the shofar was a horn that the Israelites used, and it was made from a ram's. It was actually made from a ram's horn or a ram's antler. And the significance of it was, even then, every time the shofar was blown, it was blown for several different reasons. And there's many different instances in Scripture where it was shown, but first and foremost, it was shown. It was blown to signal the presence of the Lord. When the Israelites were delivered by God out of Egypt and they arrived at the holy mountain, Mount Zion, where the very presence of God was, God issued a stern warning to them. And he had Moses to let them know that they were not to approach the holy mountain. They were not to touch it, try and climb it or anything like that, and to do so meant sure death. So God had Moses tell them that whenever they heard the shofar blow, then they were to assemble themselves, and then and only then they could approach the mountain, because God wanted to communicate them. But as it relates to the day, today in these times, we understand that we are living in extremely perilous times. And believe me, the shofar is blowing, it's tuning up, whatever you want to say, but these times, God is blowing his shofar, and he's calling unto his people. The Bible says that God always has a remnant unto himself. So saints, be encouraged tonight, and place your spiritual ear to the wind, and be ready to receive and to hear the blowing of God's shofar. Pastor Ellis, go ahead. You can elaborate.
Amen. We're going to be in the book of Job. As the man of God said, there's so many different indications why the shofar blowed, why the different horn is using so many significant things in the word of God. We talk about the process when Abraham went up to actually sacrifice his son. We talk about the ram coming up on the backside of the mountain and horns caught in the thicket. We're talking about Gideon's, the blowing of the trumpet, don't move until I actually, we're going to talk a little bit about that on Judges 7. And it's so many various things that the Word of God uses to signify that, you know, he's in position to do whatever it needs to be done, especially when the man of God talks about the process. It's really used on another occasion for the gathering of the people. Now, when he's talking about the elect, you know, the blowing of the horn, the assembling of God's people in order to know that, hey, look, the time is now. You know, we're about to move in another direction, and we're not to stay where we are. We have to move up, and as we move up, you know, the Word of God decrees and it does declare that now the angel has sounded the trumpet. God's elect will be called together, and it talks about how the process of the dead were raised first in Revelation. But let's look at the book of Job. And I'm not going to pull too far outside this teaching that we're going to do on tonight. And we kind of looked at it very carefully. You want to look at this, we're going to work back and forth from a few Bibles, and we're going to use some significant things. Now, this can be a very powerful teaching. This teaching just don't have the last one. And this teaching, this is a powerful, good month series, I'm telling you, dealing with what we're dealing with now and how we are in terms of what we are in land. And one of the stories we kind of looked at, or I kind of looked at, and I sent it on to Elder. It was over in the book of Joel. And for those who are going to be coming over to the book of Joel, chapter 2, let's kind of look over there. And let's kind of start it off here. And let's look at the International Version. And I just want to read the first half, just not the first half, but the first few verses of this particular scripture. Then I want to go into a little detail. And we're going to kind of elaborate back and forth and share some wisdom and knowledge. Like I said, there's many things. There's so many different things. The reason the horn or the shofar was used in the biblical days, and even now, it's not so much of a physical horn that's blowing. It's a spiritual horn that's blowing, and God is showing us that, hey, look, the time is now. That the season is at hand. We're in a paradigm right here. The things are shifted, and we got to get ourselves together. It talks about the army of the locusts. We're going out of the New International Version. It gives a little bit more solidification and detail in terms of, you know, King James is good. All those are good. We're going to look at the Amplified. But I found something really when I looked at the the book of Joel in the New International Version. He said, the blowing of the trumpet of Zion sounds the alarm on my holy hill. You know, we heard the man of God talk about the process. You're not to come near this mountain. As Moses went up on the mountain, it was a sure sign that, you know, Moses was a man who walked among God. He was meek than all the men in the earth. And really at that time, he was the only one God really wanted to be face to face with in terms of how he came down in Shekinah, you know. And we see that in the book of Numbers, the Word of God tells us, you know, Moses was meek, the meekest man in all of his house. That means above all the prophets and the pastors and teachers or whatever he had. You know, for him to say that, you know, we look at the power of Apostle Paul, look at all the things of Elijah, but he said he was more meeker than all the men in his house. And that says a lot right there in power. But it says the blowing of the trumpet of Zion, the alarming, my holy hill. It says, let all who lives in the land. Now, we're talking about us as well. Just like I said, the man of God, we talk about it's the gathering. And now the alert is getting ready to come. All those who live in the land. Tremble. Well, we ought to be trembling. For the days of the Lord is coming, and it's close at hand. And the days of darkness are gloom, and the days of clouds, the blackness. We talk about these things in Revelation. We talk about the coming of the last days. We know me and God teach about the blood moon and all these different things that's going on. But I'm telling you, God is signifying some things that he's letting us know. Hey, look, we're in the mix of a lot of stuff. And we better open our eyes. And these trumpets are blowing for a reason. And all indications that they're blowing is letting us know. Look, we ought to get our heads in the position we need to be in. We ought to come together. Now that the world is in chaos in terms of election and division about who should be on the throne, God, see, I'm still sitting high and looking low. The president is going to come and go, but I'm yet still here. This is the time for us to rise. It goes on again with that second verse of Joel 2. It says, the days of darkness and gloom, the days of clouds, blackness, like dawn springing across the mountains. Notice how he's saying this. This time that we see that we live in, it's so much that we see. It's so much that's covering the earth in terms of division. I remember he talked about the spirit of division, the divination of spirits that's in the earth. And it goes on and says, like it spreads like across the mountains, a large, mighty army comes, such as never was in ancient times. Now, that's powerful. such nothing has been in ancient times. And we know we talk about when things happened in ancient days, when God done things. We talk about how, you know, the flood came. We talk about how the process when God began to deal with Pharaoh and the last plague, one of the last plagues that happened when he brought darkness and the death angel came. And, you know, they say the men were so dark, amen, one of those actual plagues, he said they couldn't even see their hands before their face. But listen to what the Lord is saying. A large, mighty army comes, such as never was in ancient times. Look at how he said, never, ever will be in ages to come. This thing that's about to take place is about to be a devouring spirit. And the horn has been sounded. Said, look, get yourself together. You have to get yourself together. Because there are some things that's kind of on the land that even men don't even know how to comprehend. We go back and look at some of the breakdown here. We look like that Joe now picks his approaching swarm of locusts. You know, as a person in Jerusalem sees him, he compares them to the army in commanding the watchmen on the city wall to blow the trumpet. Now, that's me and you as being men of God. We ought to continue to sound. I think Isaiah says, you know, lift up your voice like a trumpet. You know, he warns the city, the inhabitants, of the attack. Now, if I'm right, Elder, and I think I want to, you know, I'm going to let you back in here because I want you to be in collaboration on this that we're talking about. Because, and the Word of God talks about the process of how if you see your brother, you know, and if you see him suffering in such a way, and I'm just using a paraphrase because I'm going to get to the scripture on it. He talks about if you don't warn your brother about the incoming blows is about to come in his life, then he said, look, the blood, but he said the blood is on your hand. He makes it very
clear. That's right.
In this very area, Job, that he's talking about, look, these things, we as being watchmen on the wall, we're going to have to warn the people. We don't care what color they are. We don't care what kind of lifestyle they live. We don't care how much they think they know about the Word of God. It doesn't matter. If we're going to talk to them, then we're going to talk to them and we want to get on one accord with them. Yeah, they may come with solid speech and language like they did in the days of 1 Corinthians, Apollo. But you know what? God is not dealing with education today. He's dealing with revelation. Come on, man of God. I'm going to go ahead and let you jump on in here, because I mean this can get really lengthy. We want to use every bit to the point that, you know, we want to make sure we get a understanding and teaching out of this so we can get people on this afternoon.
Amen, Pastor. That's absolutely right. There in the blowing of that shofar and in that related scripture, I believe it's in Ezekiel, there is a personal charge to each and every one of us. And the scripture says, if when you hear that shofar blowing, first and foremost, God says it's a warning because he
Amen.
Wants everybody to fear him.
Amen.
And he said, when you hear that warning, first of all, you need to heed the warning yourself. He said, but then you need to warn your brother, warn your neighbor. He said, because Amen. If you hear that warning and you don't heed it, then you're going to perish with the incoming, with the upcoming judgment. He said, also with that, if you decide not to heed that warning, then your blood will be upon you. He said, but if you hear the warning and you fail not to hear, to warn your brother, to heed your brother or your sister, your neighbor, and they perish, then their blood may be upon them because of their sin, but it's also going to be upon you. So we've got to understand, this isn't nothing to play with. This is a personal charge from God to each and every one of us. That's why it's so important for us to get into this scripture, to get into the Word, and to know it, because we have to become the scripture. You know,
Amen.
Many people walk around today, and,
Amen.
You know, people can memorize scripture, but that
Amen.
Doesn't mean that they actually know it.
Amen.
You've got to understand, again, and particularly in this day and age, in the times we're living in, it's not just enough to be in the church. There were many people in the nation of Israel who perished and went to hell because they didn't have intimate knowledge and relationship with God.
Amen.
So you can know the Bible, but to know the Bible and know God is two different things. And this shofar serves as a warning. There are many instances, again, got a lot of different scriptures.
Yeah,
for instance, you know, all the way out to the Old Testament, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Isaiah, and one of the most probably known ones is the Battle of Jericho. But God used the shofar, first of all, as a warning of his presence because he needed everybody to focus their full attention and their reverence and fear solely on him. But when he sends it as that warning, that blast, that means, okay, you better get it together. You better either repent right then, or you better get it together, and you better warn your brother and neighbor to do the same, because judgment is coming. Those are the days that we're living in. We think we're seeing the world is so violent right now. But I don't care how much violence you see in this world, it can never touch the judgment of God, because the judgment of God is final, it's sure, and it's eternal.
Wow.
And you know, those are the days that we're living in. As Pastor Ellis said, the paradigm is shifting because life as we know it, the world as we know it, is running out of time. And when that blast sounds again and the rapture takes place and we go into the tribulation and all of that stuff, look, there's not going to be any more opportunities to go back to God. God still has us under a dispensation or a time frame of grace.
Mm-hmm.
But the shofar is coming. That's why we have to have our spirits, our ears, eyes, and hearts ready.
Amen. Amen. Even when you broke the scripture and you talked in Ezekiel 33, when you talk about this, I want to go in on this. I want people to understand. The shofar is a physical horn, but you got a personal horn, and it's your mouth. It's designed to go out the work that God called you to do. And when the Word of God talks about the harvest is truly great, and the labor, God's declared you'd be a human shofar. You heard the man of God speak in Ezekiel 33. He really used in sequence of saying, again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, speak to the children. What does that mean? Open your mouth. Speak to the children of the people and say unto them, when you bring the sword. Now, he didn't say, he said it's coming. He said it's coming. Just like he speak over in the book of Joel, chapter 2. He said, when I bring the sword of the land, if the people of the land take a man. Now, I know what scripture says, but I'm going to use it in layman's. Like I said, I have about literary righteousness. God wants you to look at the basic things. God talks about who he chosen, who he ordained, he anointed. We talked about that in 1 Peter the other day. God wants a sure man that's going to bring forth the word in the season which we're in. 1 Peter talked about that. He talked about when we looked at in the era, talking about a man of stature, a man of walking in spirit, a man walking in the meekness of God. And see, God wants good leaders. See, good leaders are going to make good leaders. And what we have right now, you just got to call it like you see it. We got a showcase going.
You know, amen.
Club titles. I mean, there's a lot of noise being made, but ain't nothing happening. There's no miracles. The things that he's asking us, and even when we I don't want to get, like I say, the man of God know it's a lot in this, that we can go so many different directions on this, but we want to stay focused on just the process of the horn. Really, your mouth is a horn, as he speaks on Ezekiel 33. Your job is to warn the people. You've been born with a gift, and with that gift, according to Jeremiah 1:5, you were designed to be a workmanship. You were designed to be an ambassador. The word of God speaks about for those who, when they see the oncoming judgment come in the book of Joel, he makes it very clear. He said, these judgments are going to come, and none like you have seen before ages to come. But he goes in the third verse of Joel 2, he said, before the fire devours behind the flame. Listen to this, please, ladies and gentlemen. Before them, fire devours. Look, he didn't say in front of, he said behind them, a flame, a blaze. That's some power. Before them, the land is like what? A Garden of Eden.
Garden of Eden.
Them, a desert. When you see, if anybody know what a flash burn is, if they ever see the boom.
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to break it to reality, Elder. The singeing is actually evaporated before your eyes. And once it kindles, baby, you ain't got nothing but waste. Once it hits, in the midst of the what you call that blinding flame, that what they call it, the that gas flame, like a woof. You know, it burns, it singed already. The quickness of God. If God say that, if you look about, he's just talking about this process. He's talking about before the devouring behind the flame, behind them a flame, before them the land like the Garden of Eden. Now, when you just break just from the textual point of view, when I look at that from the textual point of view, I look at some things in Adam Clark, and I look at different kind of, because there's a whole lot of things you can look at in here. But the Word of God declares over here, when you look at the process of this book, he say a devouring flame before them. They consume like generals. They demand them to come, and they actually designed to destroy the ground. Not only in the times of the burning of the trees of the years after, he said that their wings will leave the after effect of a residue that know that they've been in the house. Behind them burneth whatever they feed, whatever they love, whatever they lay. The history of Ethiopia deals with some of these things. We talk about the historical point about this process. But he's talking about how the singeing out of fire of the left residue because of the power that went behind it. When you see water hit, and after the water hit, we talked about the tsunami the other night. We talked about the devastation that happened in Katrina. And we're talking about the after effects. It wasn't even close to what Job is talking about over here. And I'm trying to get a reality of it, Elder.
Amen.
Close to what God is talking about. When you go back up to Job chapter 2, chapter 2 and verse 2, he says, days are darker than gloom, blackness. He says, like dawn springing across the mountains. We know how that thing hit out there in Louisiana. And we know how it hit the days of Noah. You know what I'm saying? We talk about how a meteorite had hit the earth and consumed everything that was living that wasn't pleasing to God. People talking about what they told our dinosaurs in the Bible. Go read over in Job. You know, go talk about Job talking about. I mean, Zika said he saw an iron bird. I mean, I believe it was a pterodactyl. So. I mean,
birds
had skins like iron, the steel. Them birds were so hard. But when we look at the story and talk about how the devouring, and you go back with the man of God talked about the process, how we are called to be a shofire. In Ezekiel 33, we got to warn the people. We got to blow the horn. And we got to command the word and say, look here, you know, we're going to do this thing regardless of what anybody may say. We got to preach like wild men. We got to speak the word like wild men. It doesn't take a big crowd. It doesn't take a whole lot of people. Popularity, cliques, clubs, titles, games, and positions. It don't take a whole lot of anything but being obedient to what God has called you to do. And Nehemiah really... It brings some strong stuff in his particular teaching. You look over the book of Nehemiah, you know, over that chapter 4, you know, he talked about the process over there in that 16th verse, and it came to pass that, you know, when the time came forth, you know, half of the servants was wroth, and they worked half. You know, them guys was ready to get, they were ready to throw down, you know what I'm saying? Regardless of whatever, they said they were God. And you know what I'm saying? They was working half. Amen. Them held both spears and shields. You know, they had bowls. You know what I'm saying? They was ready to whatever the call
was. They were ready, that's right.
And they was ready. They wasn't giving no excuses. Real
Amen.
Whether they hurt, whether they limping, or whatever it may be. Because if I'm going to be a true soldier to the death, then I have to do the work that God told me to do over in the book of Ezekiel 33. I can't leave anybody about the warnings, about land, because it's going to be against me. Whether you have 5,000 people on the line, whether you have 2 people on the line, 3 people on the line, the thing that matters is that you actually blowing your trumpet.
Obedience.
It's on them. Your job is to get the work. And that's what he says in Ezekiel 33. He's telling you, look, that blood will be on, if you don't warn the people when the sword come to take the, then the blood should be on your hands. It's going to deal with you.
Because that's what it says.
A crowd, whether it be few crowd, 3 crowd, 1 crowd, 2 crowd, it doesn't matter. Your job, this radio station didn't build up to the accolades that it is right now. It took years to build this thing up. You know, you get 120 people, 130 people on the line, mostly international. And then you see right here, some of the things that's going right on here in the States. We got more international people. This is what really gets me about this show, and I think about it sometimes. We got more international claim than we got what would you call a residential claim. Now, why am I saying? Because you got people attracted to buildings, multi-level seating, and you know, all everyone is sitting there. And I don't want to get into that part of that thing. Because you don't know how to come. Nothing happened. The Bible, if he said he's a right now God, then you got to get a right now miracle.
And
people really get back into what God has called them to do until something really goes bad in their life. And we don't really want to give God praise until he does something with us. And the Bible said you got to give him praise when you're up or when you're down. Come on, man. I want to get off course.
Amen. No, you're talking good, preacher. Trust me. You're teaching very well. I want to take a look at the bottom part of that third verse again. There's something that God says in Joel 2 and 3. When he said the land is like the Garden of Eden before, and I'm reading from New King James Version, but there's something he said. He said at the end of that verse, he said, surely nothing shall escape them.
Ooh, wow.
Say it again. Surely nothing shall escape them. Now, you got to understand that God, not only is he organized, but he has any and every. The Bible says that God is sovereign. That means he's God alone, and he's creator and sustainer of everything. He has any and everything at his ultimate disposal. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he's saying that nothing shall escape them, that means whoever, whatever, whenever he sets forth to do his bidding, and in this case bring about his judgment, nothing that's including in that, nothing outside of that will escape.
Dear God, let me I'm gonna let you go ahead, but I wanna listen to this when he said this. When he talked about none should escape, one of the Adam Clark breakdowns says the buds, the trees, the limbs, the seed, nothing went to the hit.
Amen.
The man. He said, this is the Adam Clark. He said, the roots, the leaves, the seeds, the grass, the worms, the bugs, the ants. Once that thing hit, like he said, nothing. Go ahead, man of God. That illustration came to me. I was looking at this.
Remember, Jesus said that heaven and earth shall pass away. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that was going to last, he said, but my word shall remain forever.
Wow.
And when you look at that and you really get a grasp of that, we have no control. We have no say, no decision. But what I want to get to is that even throughout all of that, see, God always sends warning before he sends judgment.
Yes.
And even throughout this book, he goes on to let us know that he's still, even throughout all this, he's still giving us a chance, an opportunity to repent.
Yes.
Verse 12 says, now, brethren, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning.
Yes.
So rend your heart or tear your heart, not your garments. Now, let me tell you something. In speaking that word right there, Joel said a very important thing. He said to rend your heart, not your garment.
Wow.
Mourning. The tearing of the clothes was a symbol of mourning and great distress and weeping.
Yes, it was.
It would do with the Israelites during the day. But Joel told them, look, don't worry about your clothes. Tear your heart. Break your spirit down and give it to God.
Amen.
And we've got to understand that that's true repentance, first of all. And second of all, even in judgment, God still shows us mercy.
Amen.
He goes on from there. Amen. He goes on from there. And he tells us to call a fast. Matter of fact, let me read that. Verse 15 starts again. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Gather the people. All those things are wrapped up in that shofar. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. And gather the children and nursing babies. And he said so much. Look, he wants everybody. This is his will. He said that even get the bridegroom from his chamber and the bride from my dressing room. Then he told us to weep. He said, see, during those days in the temple, in the courtyard, between the porch between the porch and the outer court of the sanctuary, the inner court of the sanctuary, I'm sorry, this was directly in front of the holiest of holies where the presence of God was at. And this is in the temple. This is in the temple that's set up for the children of Israel. And we've got to understand, in the midst of everything, we are but a cry away, but a prayer away, but a fast away from God's presence. And this is what he needs for us to know and understand. Make no mistake, judgment is coming.
Oh, yes.
But if you secured your rightful place in the assembly of the congregation amongst the righteous, then you don't have anything to fear or anything to worry about. Yeah, it takes some work. I understand. When you look at this, I understand why Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Because the gospel contains all of our, yours, mine, Pastor Ellis, everybody's, our saving grace is wrapped up in that.
Amen.
And in this day and age, we have to literally take this gospel and this word and wrap ourselves up in it to insulate ourselves from the wrath that's to come.
Amen.
And this is what Joel is showing us.
Wow.
Go ahead.
No, you just said to wrap it, you know, you're talking about the guard, you know, I think Psalms, I believe it's Psalms 1, it talks about, you know, the process of the ungodly, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel. You're talking
That's
about
right.
counsel, and I mean how you center yourself around like-minded. You know, Paul talking about be like-minded. I remember one of the young men, he talked about when confusion came in the midst of a situation he was in, and he was talking about the process of how did he say it? He said it in a certain way, but the scripture says that you know, evil communication. You know, when you assemble yourself,
evil corrupts good communication.
Yeah, and the word of God tells us that we ought to disassemble ourselves. I think he talks about for those who left us they really wasn't supposed to be among us. They were really with us. And
right.
He brings about that particular era of scripture, and not going off of where we are in Job chapter 2, because he. More people are still coming to the studio, and we thank you guys for coming in. But with Eric Carey Williams out of Saginaw, Michigan, Eric Carey Williams Ministries. But we're in the book of Job, and we're discussing the process of the blowing of the shofar. We want to just make sure we got you guys there, that y'all hearing properly. But when you said that, it talks about how the process that blessed is the man, individual approach, how you got to get wrapped
right.
up. Blessed is the man. He didn't say these men. Knowing the Lord is a personal invitation. Getting the word
Amen.
Out about things in the lives of people is really up to you. Because Ezekiel 33, like he said, he didn't say nothing about anybody else. He said, speak to the people and tell them, saying, when a man, he said, the son of man, speak to the children, the thy people, and say to them, when they bring the sword, that part when he says speak to the people and say unto them. Now, he gave them an individual opportunity to do what God called them to do. He spoke to all of them and told them, man, look, there's some going on the land. Even as I'm speaking now, even as Elder Carey is speaking, men of God are speaking, we're telling you. But now, is for you to take your individual relationship and what gift God gave you and to begin to use it to the point of the kingdom of God. You have to go and spread the word. It's a mandate on you doing the work of the kingdom of God. Because as sure as I'm about to let this hammer down, it's coming.
Amen.
People back when they said, you know, the end of time, they know what they were talking about. Don't think that one of their bastard pastors went on, don't see what's going on. My mother and all those who are gone, they know what they're talking about. They see their salvation has not ended. They yet still in the process in the kingdom of God. Even though their soul had went back to the dust, but then the separation came to not is in that holding tank that he talks about in the process of Corinthians, be separated from the body, be absent for the body, the presence of God. So they seeing the event. Don't think they, well, them old people know what they're talking about. No, they watching. Don't think they may not be here with you, but they watching. They seeing the words that they spoke is coming to fruition. And everything that he's speaking is said about this process in the book of Joel in that second chapter. And he talked about over there in that the particular third verse. Oh, it's up in there. You may not want to look at it the way you want to, but he said that the vow before them, that behind them, this is the King James verse, behind them a flame burneth the land as was the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a, he said dissolent. You need to look the word up, dissolent. There's nothing growable. There's nothing edible. There's nothing livable. I think it was Chernobyl when they had the nuclear accident. Chernobyl. I'm going to get it right. Chernobyl. That, you look at the history of that thing. That thing, everything. It's just not. How many years has it been? I can require the years.
It's been
but
30 something years.
Yeah. That stuff that's still in the air over there, even though there's certain greenery growing.
It's all over the place.
The kingdom of God. That's the only way that it can be clean. But as he said, behind flame that burneth in the land as a Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing. Am I in there? Shall escape. The word declares, even in the book of, I think it's in the book of, if you guys take it later on and look at it, we're going to let Elder get back in there. In the book of Hebrews, in the 23rd chapter, the word talking about the gathering of the general assembly. Talks about the coming together of God's people, the God, the judge, and the mediator, a just man made perfect. And at the end of that particular verse, he talks about God. So God is the consuming fire. And he said pretty much the same thing that Job says here. If you escape not the one that here on earth, even we talk about the book of Lazarus, when that thing happened with Lazarus and the rich man, that brother, you know, it was a judgment coming for the way he treated him. And when he got down there, they said, ain't no way you can come back here. I think he called it a gulf. You know, he says a great gulf between, you know, can you just send that brother to give me a dip of water? He said, no, man, it's too late now. Your chance was good.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Once the division comes, that's it. Every day we get an opportunity to get right with God, with our behavior, with our attitude, with our mindset. Romans makes it very clear. Look, I'm calling you earnestly. This time is coming. It's dope. I beseech you, brother, by the mercies of God. Your job is to do the work while you're here on earth, that you present your body sacrificially for doing that what God has called you to be. What did God call me to be? That's your job, to get down on your knees and talk to God about the gift that he put on you, or put in you. Because he told you, Jeremiah, he gave you one. Now, you can use it for the world and use it for whatever you want to use it for. But the time of judgment is going to come just like it did with Lazarus now. You know, and the man that was, it's coming. He's speaking it. A fire.
Amen.
And behold them a flame burneth. That brother talking about incineration. Now, I don't know what's compared to the thing that happened with Nebuchadnezzar days when they opened that furnace. But what it sounds like to me, this is something, man, that's going to, man, you talking about, you know, people don't understand how close you can come to it. I hear people talking about how they opened the oven and they got their eyebrows and eyelashes singed. The front of their forehead was because of the fire. They come up and they better, you know. So, I mean, you know, this is really critical about how God is speaking about the importance of God's word and how it's so important for us as men and women of God to make sure we understand what the word of God said, to study to show ourselves approved, that we're designed to be workmen, And as we work and go forth, then God says, okay, what do you need in the land? Psalm 34:11. Okay, there's nothing I will hold from you. You complain about your bills. You complain about your problems. You complain about situations. God says, okay, I'm the one who owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. If you understand my word, that you are designed to do a work here in the earth. And if you tell me what I called you to do, then the Bible says, woes to you. You have to say Ezekiel 33. You don't want them. It's going to be on. Come on, man of God.
Amen. Back to the division of Psalms. When David was talking about, you know, blessed the man who stands not in the way of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. He lists those qualities that attribute the blessing of God to that man, because that man is blessed and fruitful of God because he does not participate in all of those things. And what's interesting, at the end of that, God promised that man and also the unbeliever two things. He said that everything that man would do shall prosper. But he said the ungodly are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. In other words, all of those ungodly attributes and those people that hold fast to those lives and those qualities will be driven away and will be blown away and be burned up. And that's why this is so important. As a matter of fact, there's a section in this chapter, I believe it's the 18 through the 27 verses, God has already given a promise. Like I said, even in the midst of this, you know, even in death, God is so awesome, even in death, he brings forth life.
Mm-hmm.
And verse 18 begins where God has given the promise that the land will be fenced. But this is only after the people have repented to him. See, God, he doesn't want our attitudes. He doesn't want our thoughts. He wants us. God wants a people that's obedient by being obedient to prayer.
Amen.
And listen, I don't care how anointed you are.
Yes, right.
I don't care how saved you feel you are. If you don't have an intimate prayer life with God, excuse me, none of the rest of it even matters. Because God needs constant communication. That's why the word tells us the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When you go to God and when you seek God in prayer and you employ language and meditation, and when you employ open lines to communication with God, the Bible is promised with condition. The condition is that we exchange our will to God's and we do the things that God requires of us to do, not only just to please him, but in order to save and to bless us. God gets the glory out of blessing us. But in order for us to do that, we have to be willing vessels as unto him. And so verse 18 says, then the Lord will be zealous for his land and pity his people.
Amen.
The Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and you will be satisfied by them. I will no longer make you a reproach among nations, but I will remove far from you the northern army. The northern army is that persecution. The northern army is that destruction and that judgment. He said, I will drive them away into a barren and desolate land. And what I love about it is that, you know, the truth of the matter is, the Bible says it is God's will that none should perish, but that all should come to the Lord and be saved.
Amen.
And in particular, what's so important about this day and age, see, God is first God of the individual before he can ever be God of the masses.
Amen.
And I can't save nobody. I can't even save myself. I don't have no heaven or hell to put anybody in or keep anybody out of. So this is why all scripture is gravely important at this time. Mm-hmm. But when scripture tells us with fear and trembling to work out our own salvation, before the Lord. In order for God to be a blessing to some people, you've got to know and understand how he's blessed you so that you can invite them in to be blessed of the Lord. But that's Amen. The way it works. God understands. He knows, first of all, he knows our hearts. He knows the intent of our hearts. David said, if I go down into the, you know, low, you're there. Where can I hide from you?
Amen.
So it's not like we can ride the coattails of anybody else. No. We got too many people wanting to reap a benefit but not putting the work. I'm reminded of a Bible band story I taught years ago, and it was simply this. There was a godly man, an old man, and got great in age. He was, I believe he was a deacon in the church, and a true story, too, as a matter of fact. And he had got up in age, and he was literally at death's door. And his family, all his children, the grandchildren, and the sinners were around him. And they were crying and wailing because they knew that his end was near. And he told them, he said, don't weep and cry for me. He said, celebrate. He said, because my work is done. My journey is coming in. I'm leaving this body and I'm going to be with the Lord.
Amen.
And they were still lamenting everything. And after a while, he told them, he said, I don't know why y'all making all this fuss. He said, I'm happy. He said, because it occurs to me. He said, I want y'all to think about it. He said, it occurred to me. He said, everybody wants to go to heaven, but
Amen.
Nobody wants to die.
Yeah, that's a
Now,
big
the Bible
thing.
Says to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. See, the terror is not in dying. The terror is in why you die and how you die. Well, see, the Bible says that it's a blessing to die even in a good old age, you know, when the man of God is blessed. And if you die and die, you must, to be full of years and in good old age. And that's a blessed way to go home, because you can leave this tent, you can go and be with the Lord, and you're at peace. You have the peace of God wrapped all the way around that.
Amen.
But this here, what Joel is describing, is what's coming, and you don't want to be caught up in that.
No, that's some serious stuff there, man. That, you know, it was this movie. I remember watching, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I remember watching the movie back in the days, Terminator. You know, Terminator 2.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was showing the day of judgment, and I don't know if y'all
mm-hmm.
part of the scripture, when a gulf of flame came through there, and it blew all the sinew off the people. I mean, all
yep.
the blood. You know, it was just a skeleton hanging on the fence like that. And one of the young men said something in his mouth. It was such a revelation. He said, you know, we designed to destroy each other, aren't we? I still think about it. That's just a prophetic word coming from even
yeah,
an action. He said, we are designed to destroy each other. And if you look across the land, and you can't tell me what it may have been. See, that's why, you know, he says foolish things. We're looking at that from a biblical, because it's a lot of movies that I have watched and seen, and I think about back in the days, what did it really mean to me? Matter of fact, it was one movie that I hear Elder talking about, and I really was kind of looking at the finder because I wanted to watch it, and I think it was Stacy Keach. Was it Stacy Keach? Was it Stacy Keach?
No, it was the name of the movie was The Usual Suspect.
Yeah. I was trying
to
see
I can't remember the dude's name right now.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
The movie was saying that all that was going on, it was really all the disguise. And he said,
yep.
I think, how did he say it, Elder? The biggest. What,
he said the greatest trick that the devil ever pulled off was to convince the world that he doesn't exist.
Wow. Now you got to look at that.
And you got to remember, the Bible lets us know that the devil and everything he does as it pertains to us, it's deception. It's
yeah.
a lie. That's why Jesus said he's the father of lies. The enemy's threat always seems real to your mindset. But it's not, because he's defeated. But
Amen.
We have to know it. We have to know it.
Amen. Amen. It is, you know, it the scripture, even, you know, even as he went down to the 18th verse, you know, going down from the just the process of the product of what's been said in the actual warning of coming affliction.
Yep.
And it's such it's really prevalent to the ones who disobey the warning. He's telling you, this is a sure thing that won't happen to you if you disobey the three means of turning to recommend the fasting, weeping, the mourning. He talks about in verse 12, but even in the process of verse 11, you know, it's just a strong indication there. When you go back up and you look at it from, you know, you can look at it from any different, I mean, different levels you teach from, the International, the New King James, CBN. It's just so much when he looks at the 11th verse, and you can read from various different parts of the scripture. And the King James Version talks about the process. He said, and the Lord shall utter his voice. Now, we're talking about trumpets. We're talking about the shofar, the blowing of the warning. You know, all this thing we're talking about, the sound of Gideon, the process of what happened with Nehemiah in chapter 4. We're talking about the process of Ezekiel. We're talking about all these different things that happened to certain men who ignored the warning, or will happen to the man if they ignore the warning. And in that particular book of Job, in the second chapter, verse 11, he said, Lord shall utter his voice before the army, and for his camp is very great. Notice what he said. The voice of the commanded destruction is ordered by God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I won't bring no wonderful land. Oh, he won't? Oh, you better look. You better use your scripture. And you better look at over that numbers. It was the men and the guys got rebellious. But he whooped Pharaoh. He didn't want to knock Pharaoh out. He wanted to rope and dope Pharaoh because he wanted to make sure.
That's right.
I'm going to let all your gods know who's the true God. I'm going to whoop all of them.
That's right.
And then you look at the process of Noah. All these different things in the Word of God commands the power of God, the illustration of God, the revelation of God. And how he says a sure word is coming from the kingdom of God. But he goes back in that same thing that the man of God said in the book of Ezekiel before going back to, over here to chapter 2 and verse 11. He talks about the warning, the sounding of the voice. You can't stay silent in this day and time. While everybody else is around here, the world's in division, the uproar, guess what? God is making known to the people that we are in the position to be able to sound off the trumpet, which is the voice, that we may bring people to the position that they may know and understand that God is yet in control. Going back to the in the second chapter, and in that particular 11th verse, he said, the Lord shall utter his voice and before his army, for his camp is very great.
Mm-hmm.
For he is strong. Listen to what he
strong.
Said. Strong. They executed his word. I mean, when
right.
you look at that, they execute. He put an ET on it. Man, I think Isaiah 55:11 talks about that in some other area. That every word that proceeds. But he used a proceeding over in Isaiah 55:11. He said every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's a 40 word.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, he said it will accomplish and do all it, where he sent it. And then you go back to everything you read, when you just search the scriptures, and one of some of the sure words I'm speaking about the word of God is even speak about numbers. I'm not a God. He don't lie. My word.
Amen.
In Numbers 23:19-21, matter of fact, 23:19-20, he talks about, am I God? Now, he put himself in a position that he said that for everything, if you understand what Isaiah 55:11 said, now you understand what Numbers 23:19-20 said. It's going to move. It's going to move. It's a sure word that comes from the kingdom of God. He said
that's
he
right.
Execution means moving and performing. Hey, man, you got to catch it. It ain't just talking. It's executing and performing his word.
In other words, it's done.
And very terrible. And who can abide it? Who can?
That's right.
You know that can withstand the power of this pressure. My sisters are singing a song. Well, it's one out now, but my sister's saying, what you going to do when the world's on fire? It's an old song she was singing back then. What are you going to do? What you going to fire? what you're going to do. You know, say I'm going to run. I'm not going to run, but the faithful, he said, I'm going to stand right here because my word is sure in the kingdom of God, in the word of God. And it's amazing how he talked about how it's very terrible. Who can abide it? Who can handle this? This very immaculate word is coming forth. That God is telling us in the last days, it's a lining of the kings. And if you're going to be a frontline runner, you better get up on it. If there's anything that you're dealing with in your life, and you've been knowing the Lord this long, the Lord said, you've been walking with me a long time. Don't you think it's time for you to examine yourself? For you to take a final exam on you, get yourself and set out, look, what is it in my life that's not pleasing to God? Now that the time is coming, the word of God, I think we talked about over there in the book of Peter, we talk about, what in the book of Peter, God gave me a prophetic word on Sunday out of the book of Ecclesiastics, and he talked about how he talked about in words of different areas, but he said how the grinders are getting old, and how the coming of age, when the things you used to do, when you used to go up high, now you're afraid. Talking about the silver line on the back is now to a point that you're scared to bend because you don't know if it's going to snap or break. You don't want to, he's talking about as you get old, God is saying as sure as you get aches in your body, your knees, your hips, your mouth, he calls your mouth grinders. These are your molars. No more being able to grind like they used to grind anymore. They've been loose. They've been pulled from the head. God has said, you're getting older in your age. He's recognizing, letting you know, I'm on my way back. And don't you think it's time for you to invest a lot of more of your time? See, God want to get you when you're young also. He really want to get you when you're young. You know, when you don't have these different stabilities or when you get what you call decrepitancy coming on you. Some people want to turn on in the world. They want to get world all they get youthful days. But I'm telling you, man of God, I'm so glad in the name of Jesus that God showed me a long time ago.
Amen.
Together that I can still do things when I'm young. And I still got this. You know, now he's still raising me up like an eagle. And it's still moving high. And I thank God for that. But these words are stern, sure words that's coming from God's very sure fire, as you say. It's a blowing of the trumpet. It's recognizing and positioning yourself because now the time is at hand. Not anybody else's time, but you're talking about your time. What you going to do with your time? Your time. Down in mess day. As the man of God said, how are you going to go out? How are you going to go out? You going to go out half-cocked? Or you going to go out fully loaded and shooting the kingdom? With the word that coming up out your sapphire. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to speak it. Come on, Elder.
Amen. I agree, Pastor. You know, again, whomever God calls, he also equips.
Yeah.
You know, he also predestined. He also ordained. And he's ordained each and every one of us that call upon him.
Mm-hmm.
To make a sounding call. We are supposed to be the shofars of the day. We are to spread the warning of God, and we are to call the people into God's presence. You know, that shofar meant not only a warning, but it also was a calling together of assembly. You know, this is the Bible where the shofar was sound, you know, to call the people into a holy convocation because God is always communicating. You know, the question is, when and how often are we listening? Because, see, you know, there's a difference between hearing and listening. And when we're hearing God, then that means we're responding in like manner.
Amen.
And you know, listen, when you learn to walk in truth, truth becomes his own sounding board.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he needs us to understand because God is truth. He represents truth. And he told us to be holy even as he is holy.
Amen.
So when God speaks his words are truth, his words are life. And we are supposed to follow suit and speak God's words.
Amen.
You know, and I'm like you, preacher. I'm so glad and grateful that God saw fit to get me up out of my mess and up literally out of the hands and the clutches of death, you know, some time ago. Now, and it's like this, God will pull you out, but you have to be willing to stay out. You have to be willing to follow.
Amen.
Don't let nobody fool you and tell you once saved, and I'm not talking about a doctrine when I say this, you know, once saved, always saved. What I'm saying is that God is always offering and providing salvation. But because we're free moral agents, we still have to continuously choose to accept it.
Yeah, he don't throw you away. You walk away, but he gets to
the
whole.
Exactly. Exactly.
Grace.
And life is, you know, life is choice driven, you know. Whether we choose him, whether we walk away from him, ultimately we choose to do so.
Amen.
And just like we choose to get into him, we got to choose to stay in him. Because we got to choose to follow through and ride this on out. Just like God's mercies are sure, his judgment is sure as well.
Amen. When you said that, Elder, you know, the book of Revelations, that makes it, you know, when you're talking about choice-driven, you know, just speaking on the concept. On you, those of you, just take it for your notes. You know, we, just like I said, there's a lot in this. We ain't gonna be able to get it through everything, but we talk
so much.
Kingdom standpoint of view, that when the word speaks about the process, and you can look at the King James or whatever you want to look at, but the word talks about in the book of Revelations 3:8. He said, if I know the works, he talked about this. That he would, matter of fact, when he was dealing with this area, he was talking about the different churches, a lot of the CEO, all the voices up there. And he came to me, he said, open the book of Revelation. If you look at Revelation 8, and you could turn there. I mean, I like to get there. I don't want to come too much off the top of my head, but you know, I want to make sure I give you a sure word that when the word of God says,
the letter to the seven churches,
He said, if I know the works. He said, if I know thy works. Now, he's talking about the different churches.
Mm-hmm.
The names of seven nations of churches. He told me, if I be how they're set before you an open door, then no man can He said, no man can shut it. Though I have a little strength and have kept my word. Now notice what he said. God
identified, I have someone of all against
your work. Even though he's using it as a representation of his church, the seven churches, he's using it as a representation, really. Now, Corinthians says, don't you know you are the temple? Now, he used these different churches, Laodicea, he talked about them in terms of churches. But the word of God said, dispensation and time that we in, he said, you are the temple. The Holy Spirit. So when you look at the process of the historical point of view, even talk to the churches, a lot of CEO, he was looking at these seven churches. He was looking at you as the same token. You know, God always opened the door before you. He's not going to, I hear people say he's a gentleman, and he really is. And he's more than a gentleman. Because he
wants
to get him once. You know, I think Romans, was it Romans 6, Elder? He says that you can continue on in the doing the things of opposite sin. That now grace is at hand. Okay, here's the thing. No, don't do that. Because God knows your works. And behold, he has set before you an open door to come to him with opportunity to know that whatever's going on in your life, that mercy and grace is presented to you. Don't use grace as a buffer. You know, just because you got grace.
That's right.
Some people misuse stuff. Well, Lord, I'm sorry.
That's right.
I'm just a little bit. I'm going to spice my language up today. And I'm going to talk about somebody. Then I'm going to ask the Lord to forgive. No. The opportunity for you to get right with Christ is now.
Amen.
Don't keep mistakes while you're in the field of. Now, the Lord just gave it in the field of play. Now, I don't know if y'all caught that. In the field of play, while you still got a heartbeat and a pulse.
Amen.
You still play on the kingdom of, doing the work of the kingdom of God. Don't find yourself outside. Someone told me one time. He said, Pastor Ellis, it ain't gonna hurt you. One of my young nephews. He said, Pastor Ellis, man, come on, uncle. Come on, go to the concert with me. Come on, ain't anybody gonna know? No, God knows. And what if that day
That's
I
right.
go to come. The Bible says they don't know the time to win.
That's right.
The day you make that choice, you better make sure that you ain't playing with grace in such a way that God is like, I got it up here with you. You might as well. I'm tired.
Amen.
I'm tired of, come on home. Because you just ain't going to do right. But the Bible tells me, but if I walk upright, no good thing.
Amen. Amen.
Walk upright.
Amen. Paul said, Paul warned us not to use our liberty as a cloak of maliciousness. In other words, you just can't put on the front and be, so holy and upright in front of people when you're trying to impress them and lead them. And then behind the scenes, you do things that's throwing other ones, casting other ones astray because you end up falling by the wayside yourself. And as a matter of fact, it's funny, you went to, what is it, first chapter, second chapter in Revelation? Excuse me. That letter to the seven churches. Jesus told him himself, he said, I've seen the great works you've done, and I've seen the love and the things that you put out there. But he said, but I still have somewhat of an ought against you.
That's right.
He said, because you have left your first love.
Right.
Now remember the two greatest of the commandments, love the Lord thy God with thy heart, mind, body, and soul. And he said the second one is like unto a love thy neighbor as thyself. And everything else hinges on those. So Jesus said, even though y'all have done all these great works in my name, he said, I still have an all against you because you left your first love. Somewhere down the line, you got comfortable and relaxed and doing things underhanded in a way, and it caused you to lose sight of what you were called to do in the first place. And like I said, God being a sovereign God, he uses whoever he wills when he wants to in whatever way he wants to. But we can't afford to make the mistake of thinking that we've got such a lock on God's salvation that we can't fail.
By works, as you said, Apostle Paul said, by works.
By works, that's right. By works.
This is what they'll say, Elder, like you said in Matthew 7, at 21st verse, around that 23rd. He said, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord. Now, Luke 46 talks about how he is so good to you. But Matthew says,
46.
Not yet. Well, Luke 6:46 tells you, but we're going to look at Matthew 7, the 23rd chapter, 7:21 to the 23rd chapter.
Yeah, 7:21.
He says in 7:21 to 23, he said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. Now, notice what he's saying right there. You know, the Bible talks about a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Power means when you understand and realize that God can change you for whatever it may be that's going on in your life. Power is when you don't have the ability to get caught up or tossed or twisted up with something that's not of God.
Power.
You go over in the book of Psalms 1. Yea, though I walk through the shadows of the valley of death, I will fear no evil. No, let me back that up. Let me get that right. That's what's up with 2:23. But Psalms 1 tells you, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the power eliminates you from all the things that's not of God. He said, don't come to the front with a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, wishy-washy, up and down, knowing that behind closed doors you've done something that wasn't pleasing to me. But when you get before people, you got this thing as if I'm so holy than thou. You can't come to me and say, he said, all those who stand out in front of you to make yourself look good can't enter in here because everybody ain't telling the truth. But he said, the will, am I in there, of my Father.
That's right.
Which is in heaven. God wants you to be able to work and perform by your outer appearance. He said, I don't take a light and put it under a bush.
That's right.
I call you to be a light up on a hill. In the midst of all the things that we have going on in our lives, we ought to be a light that's shining forth and bringing forth the word of God. He moves on down. Now, we're not forgetting about Joel. We're talking about trumpets and how you're talking about the shofar of your mouth to be able to blow. Matthew in Matthew 7:23. He said, many will say unto me on the day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied
in thy name?
Listen to what he's saying. They're going to come and they're going to use their performance as a way to get into the kingdom of God. But God's going to take it right back to Revelation. He said, no, I know the work. You can talk all you want.
That's right.
But I know your work, you know. But as the elder said, there's a little thing I got against you. And when you think about that, he's really saying that, you know, the saved barely make it in.
We're
driven and choice driven, as the elder said. We barely make it in. But there's
that's
one
right.
who are with the mouth of a serpent. You know, the Indians talked about them in the back. They say, him speaking with two tongues. You know, they speak
yep.
two ways.
Fourth tongue, that's right.
Another thing, the other way. Did I say something there? The word of God declares and decrees according to the kingdom. He says in the 23rd verse, then they will profess unto me, I never knew you, depart from me.
I never depart from me, you workers of iniquity.
You know what the iniquity is? I think the word.
Yeah, I was just getting ready to talk about that. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Those workers of adultery.
Yes.
Galatians give up.
Yeah, see, sin.
Right.
Sin is sin.
Yeah.
And make no mistake about that.
Mm-hmm.
But when the
yeah.
Bible talks about iniquity
yeah.
is hidden, unconfessed sin.
That's right. That's right.
Sin that you're holding on to.
Yeah.
Inwardly, that you don't want to let go of because you figure don't nobody know about it except maybe select somebody that you caught up in that thing with.
Yeah.
But God
yeah.
knows all. And iniquity is sin that you ain't willing to confess openly before anybody, before God and men. Those are the most dangerous sins of all of us. Because, see, that's a special judgment for preachers and ministers and
yeah.
people in ranks. In God's ministry, there's a special condemnation because the Bible says that judgment first must begin at the house of God.
That's you in your temple. Don't you know you?
That's right.
It's your temple, not the church. You're talking about you as an individual.
Exactly.
Spreading out some. You better get your.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
That's the earthly kingdom of God.
He says, in moral and grossly. Listen how he say this, man. He say it's immoral, grossly
unfair. Come on.
According to the biblical questions. Now, when you want to look at it from the actual, the man-made, or we call the mortal, it just said grossly unjust.
Mm-hmm.
It defines the English language learning. Iniquity.
Profane and immoral.
The Bible, when you talk about it in the regular form, he talks about kids. You hadn't grown up.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible said, child, I thought like one. And what he say?
That's
I
right.
did what?
Child. I did as a child. I spoke as a child.
But when I grew up, when I learned the ways of God, I put all of what he say, elder? My child.
I put away childish things.
I got out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because God knew that where I was going to be from this day forward. You ain't.
And that's true repentance.
That's right. That's why
people confuse forgiveness with repentance.
Yeah. Amen.
You can ask God to forgive you all day long, and he will. But when you repent, you're turning away from whatever it is that caused you to have the need to ask for forgiveness in the first place. And it doesn't mean keep going back and dabbling, coming back and ask for forgiveness. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Not a 360 now, a 190. Totally in the opposite direction. You don't turn around and go right back to it again. The Bible talks like
there
a man go back to his vomit. That's what the Word of God says. A man who turned away
exactly
from
right.
No, going right back to the very thing he threw
to his vomit.
Up. You mm-hmm. and you going back. Didn't he say it? That's word. That ain't
that's what that's, he said. That's what it
know?
Says.
But you want to call me what? Lord. Lord, but you did not obey the commandments and the thing that I said that you need to do. You know, you wonder why your life is conflicting. It's really twisted. It's up and down. It's backward because you when you get with God and you see God said you can't be How you say that? You can't be coming in and out. He talked about the churches over there. He called them lukewarm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. He talked about, if y'all read the scripture, he talked about, that's some powerful scripture. In everything we talk about today is dealing with really the shofar. The man of God, we go back to Job. We want to finish this up. We go back to Job. We be rolling in all the hell. Book of Job, you go back to the book of Job, excuse me, and he said over in the third verse, he said that the man of God said, a fire devoured before them. And behold, excuse me, behind them, a flame continue on the land as a garden of Eden. Now, why did he say it burned as a garden of Eden? Before them, and behind them, a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall
escape them.
Your sins, no matter how hard you trying it, the Bible said what's been told in the inner ear. That's what the word of God say. Whatever's in the dark. Didn't he say the light?
That's right.
You can't escape nothing. God said,
what's told in the ear is gonna be shouted from the rooftop.
Yeah, they gonna let you know. You know, but you want to tell me you did not do the, did you? Really? Knowing that grace and mercy was there with you. Paul talks about the forgetting of things. You know, the passing away of things. I got to forget which I'm behind. Anything that's going, see, that's a dimensional move. If anybody ever knew things about dimensional moves, you study some of the scientific things in college and school, you talk about the first dimension. You know, we talk about the first dimension, you know, it was just up and down. You talk about the second dimension, you know, to the left, and you talk about third dimension to the right. The fourth dimension, people say you can go back in time, but I don't believe that in the name of Jesus, not physically. If you can go back mentally, you know what I'm saying? The Bible declares and decrees that there are people that come around you that'll look at you. When God forgive you for your sins and you throw the sea of forgiveness, the Bible said there's ones that'll come around and put on a special kind of scuba there. And they'll dive down in the sea of forgiveness and throw your sins back up off in your face when God forgave you. And the word really declares, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, that if there are any man to be in, you bring all things. That's not a dimensional move here. Not a fourth dimension move. If y'all study dimensions, you know something about that. It really is a kind of a corny thing. It's kind of wild because it deals with scientists deal with a lot. You know, I happen to get into the stuff and look at it a lot. You know, first dimension, second dimension, third dimension. But they never could understand. The scientists believe that you can do a fourth. That's what they say. We're going to get off of them because that's witchcraft.
yeah, they got a theory about everything.
He said his word, God never had a fourth dimension in his word. He said everything that proceeded out of my mouth goes which way?
Right.
Fourth. It will not come back unto me void. It's going to accomplish all that I said and what I sent.
Accomplish what I said and
above my name. It's going to do what
right.
Said. Yeah, I mean, God said, now that's powerful. I exalt my word. Come on, somebody.
Above my name.
Mm-hmm. What? The creator of the universe. The you know what I'm saying? Out of darkness. And your word is, because why? Because out of darkness, he spoke.
That's right.
This word here, even when we look at the book of Genesis, we may not look at the shofar back then when they blew, but God had a shofar back then. He blew the word, came into fruition. He spoke according to Genesis. Everything he said out of his mouth went forth. And I tell you nothing. Read Genesis and just go through the implements of it and get some revelation for yourself. God never designed you on anything you do. God had always predestined you to go forth and has the best in store for you. He said, no good thing would I hold from Elder
Shall I withhold.
You know what I'm saying? Charles Ellis, you know, Stratic, all my friends out from the different nations, no good thing would I
Shall I withhold.
Let's put it another way, Elder. For those who obey all my commandments, all my statutes, all my precepts, that's really what he told him in Deuteronomy chapter 8, didn't he?
Amen. As a matter of fact, even in this scripture right here in Joel, he told them, you know, if you repent, if you call a fast, if you call a convocation, and you do those things that are pleasing me, he said, my people will not be put to shame.
There it is. That's like God said that. Lying.
My people shall never be put to shame.
That's a guarantee.
That's a surety.
Yeah, in every word. Remember, he's held his word above. Man of God, I got a little friend in the house tonight. I don't know if he want to hang out. I know he always.
Yes, sir.
What's up, Mr. Stritic? All right. He up off in there. He hanging too, boy. He may be.
All right.
But he up out there. Yeah, there you go.
There he is.
Come on, man. What's happening? I'm going to do like the young dude say, what's happening? How you doing, man? Yeah. How's it? You and the other man. But
I'm feeling all right. I just didn't let something get in my spirit today. I was talking to one of my children's mother, and, you know, I'm all right, though, you know. I know what it is. I know who it is, so.
You tell us about it.
I'm just feeling kind of down right now because she really hurt me with what she done today.
Yeah. You know what? Every time we're moving forward is God. The Bible says, like he says in Job, that the darts comes like a cloud of locusts. If you really you know, when you look at a person in a cloud, see, every time a light, see, when you go in the room, you can do something. See, you know, about the power of God on our lives. Now, when we go into a dark room, we come on the light, what, darkness? That's really
darkness,
darkness.
Please.
Yeah, that's how quick, how God can change it. That's how fast he can change it, because the enemy only come to do what? Kill. Come on, somebody.
Kill, steal, and destroy.
But I came to give you what? That's right, life. Life is light. So when we talked earlier about how you center yourself around those in that congregation, when the enemy come in like a flood, the standard center yourself around people. See, the enemy gonna throw at you any kind of way that he can. He gonna use all. See, this is the bad thing about it. I'm going to get out of here. The word of God, and when you think about it, it really is revelation. God's word is. It is. He says, show forth for the word to go forth out of my mouth and not come unto me void. But it will accomplish all the way I put it. Meaning God said, it's a sure light for the believer. The enemy comes, according to the book of Ephesians, in terms of how he tried to penetrate our armor. But God said, look here, you got to put on the whole armor is being covered by the word of God, and know the enemy can come at you anytime. No player. Now, Paul talks about in the book of Timothy, no man goes into war, I said, Elder, without receiving, suffering injury. But you rebound. You never stay down. You don't get some hits. And hits come in many ways. I mean, the Elder get hit.
Yeah.
I get hit. The best get hit. He going to get hit. And some of the greatest hits, like he said, remember Apostle Walker? When Apostle Walker talk about, that's when you got to really read that word over in Psalms, that Psalm 54. I mean, that Psalm 55.
Mm-hmm. 55.
He said it wasn't the bully. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't much.
Yeah, he said it was a man who broke bread with me.
Yeah, it the one who broke bread. That means anybody who's close to you got access to have something that can hold you to get back in on you. But India gives us more. Also, you got people who hold things. See, misery. Why does it say out of misery? What?
Misery loves company. Satan's going to get mad and turn up the heat whenever he knows that you're desiring to get more into God. When you're desiring to labor for God and to live for God, he's going to turn up the heat. And he already knows the easiest way to come at you is to those that are closest around you.
Yeah, that's what
you know. You'd be surprised. The enemy can use. It can be anybody from your spouse to your parents. Sometimes even the man and woman of God. But it's a test. It's a test. And remember, those are the times when you're going to feel the most alone, because God wants what's in you to rise up that comes from him. And we forget, like, even when we're in school, the times that we're taking tests in school are the times that the teacher's always quiet.
Yeah. Jesus joined it to his final move. And if you really understand, when he told him, he said, when you think about the process, that when Jesus was actually getting ready to go to, you know, actually go into, you know, to his actually, really the Garden of Gethsemane, he was getting ready to go before the sins, you know, his death, to prepare the sins of his sacrifice. Peter came and got to talking. And this is what's so strong about it. So I talk about how he would go before him. I'll die for you. And Jesus really didn't that what was behind the scenes trying to push Peter. And that's what we got to understand. It's not the person. It's what's behind the scene. It's the puppet master.
That's right. It's the spirit that motivates him.
That's right. You know, pro-choice, like the man of God says. Choices in the mind, choices to act, patience to move. All those are choices of ours. But the word of God talks about, but if we walk upright, or if we live by the spirit, I think Galatians says about the flesh and the blood. Well, he just said flesh, you know, and spirit, not flesh, you know, flesh and spirit. I think Galatians 5 and 16.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit, you don't fulfill the lust of desire. He got a whole list of stuff before we get into that, you know, gentleness, meekness, and all that. But when he told Peter, he said, Satan, get behind thee. He wasn't talking to Peter.
Nope.
He was talking behind the scene. And that's how we got
to
look at it.
He was talking to that spirit. Yeah.
You got to talk to that spirit, because Ephesians said, we'll be what? We're going to fight against what?
And so we war against the spirit wars against the flesh.
We don't fight against, we don't fight like that. But he talks also in Ephesians 1 and 21. He said, but there's a more excellent way, which is far above all principalities and power.
Amen.
You got to see what's behind the scenes. When you recognize who it is, and then you got to know how to deal with what it is.
Spirit's amen.
How did you say back in the old days, old song that came in? I think it was y'all forgive me. I'm still human. It was an old song came back in the days about Houdini. You think about certain people probably had it now. They shape, size, and colors were like about the most on Houdini. It is really revelation when you think about it. People say, well, these songs are like songs. Yeah, now we put them into the biblical sense. And that's how the enemy come at you. His job is to come at you in all shapes, forms, sizes, and colors. And if he can find something that'll fit your keyhole, he's going to turn it.
That's right.
Skeleton key. You know what I'm saying? It brother, man, he's preparing you. And you better now open that door, man. You better put a master lock on that thing, which is called Jesus Christ. He's going to open you up. But man of God, let's go, pray for him. Pray, give him a good prayer, Elder.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your son. We thank you for this man of God right now, God. He is experiencing turbulence from the enemy. And God, we would that you would continue to grow him and to open his eyes, Lord, so that he might see the forces that he is battling against. Oh, God, we understand that you would have us to love the person and hate the sin. We understand that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, God, but as in your word you said that they are mighty through the spirit to the pulling down of strongholds, oh God, and to knock down and stand against anything that would exalt itself against your word. Father, in the name of Jesus, strengthen him in his walk, God. Give him clarity and give him peace, Lord.
Yes,
and give them to understand and know when the attacks come from the enemy come that they are just that. They are attacks, they are lies, and they are not real. Because you are the Father of all. You are the giver and sustainer of life, Lord. And that you've recreated him in your image, O God. And that you've seated him in heavenly places. So that he understands and he knows, O God, that as long as he abides in you and you in him, he's already won the victory.
In the name of Jesus.
Lift up his head tonight, oh God, in the name of Jesus, and strengthen and encourage him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And Father God, even as we begin to go off the air, Father God, we thank you for all of our callers, all our listeners. And we just dedicate to even the word as they hang on, they hung on with us this long, Father God, to hear such a revelational word that came from the kingdom of God. Lord, we thank
you
these mouths of clay tonight to speak that what's come from the kingdom of God. And Father God, even as we depart from this very particular radio station, but not from you, Father God, look over us in our households. Look over us, Father God, even as we lay down on tonight. Protect us and keep us, God, it's about dreams and visions. Father God, protect our bodies, Father God. That what you designed for us to have, to carry your Holy Spirit. Father,
yes,
God, we declare right now in the name of Jesus, as the word says always, Father God, that no weapon formed, not created, designed, or engineered against your people shall prosper. We thank you for this opportunity tonight. We came together to collaborate with the power of the Spirit. These things we speak not of ourselves, but of the power of the Most High God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray, Lord, amen. God bless you guys for being with
amen.
Us tonight.
God bless you.
Guys, we'll see you guys on, well, I guess, if y'all, Saturday. We might have a, if it's not Friday, we might have a guest speaker. They're going to call me for Friday. But I said, no, we're going to cut Friday out. That's baby time right there. And we got it pre-recorded, but maybe all we're going to be with the honey.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Joining us on tonight. Y'all be blessed.
Good night. I want you to join and sing with us if you know these songs. I want you to participate in the worship of tonight. Listen to the glory of the King. And how many of you know he's coming soon? Come on, make some noise if you know he's coming soon.
Let's go.